This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Here we go with hour number two on the day after the election. We now have President Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump. The two parties have talked in the last 45 minutes. This is a decisive victory for Donald Trump, who becomes the 45th and 47th president of the United States. A man has joined us a number of times, a man who was part of the presidential race. He is still, for a few more months, the 3rd District Congressman in the state of Minnesota. Dean Phillips is with us. Dean, like all of our guests, including Tim Pawlenty starting the show, Dean is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, as always. The results involving this race with a potential landslide victory for Donald Trump, was this more about Donald Trump or was this more about Kamala Harris and your party?
Boy, Chad, that's what we're all reflecting on right now. You know, this is about a country that feels increasingly disconnected from its political leaders. It's about a political industrial complex that serves its own purposes and needs at the expense of the electorate. And I don't think it's about either candidate. I think it's about a general disaffection for how things are going in this country. And I think Donald Trump clearly is the protest candidate. And a lot of people feel unheard, unappreciated, frowned upon, condemned, and are lacking invitation and community. And I think, unfortunately, from my perspective, Mr. Trump has done a better job of making the case to those people. And I have to also say one more thing, Chad, that, you know, Kamala Harris is going to encourage Democrats and her supporters to accept the results and reconcile and find common ground. And I think she's deserving of some celebration, because if the reverse had happened last night, I can assure you of one thing. There would be no concession. If anything, we'd have some very, very dark days. So I have to acknowledge a free and fair election. He won fair and square with a pretty significant mandate. And I think it's time for a lot of soul searching amongst those of us who see his character and many of his policies as destructive, not productive.
A lot to react to. I agree with you 1,000%. If Donald Trump had lost last night 50-0, he still would not have accepted the results. But guess what? He won. He does have a mandate. Let's pick up also on part of the success of Donald Trump's three campaigns, twice winning, once losing, even though he will never acknowledge that. And you touched on it. The folks who feel, whether it's the last 15, 20 years or their entire lives, that they have not been treated fairly, that the apparatus, the system has bypassed them. Even though Donald Trump is an extraordinarily wealthy individual, he's based out of New York City. He's led this successful life. And for some, they might say, I can't identify with him. They have. They have so frequently it has been, and it included in this race, Dean, young white men, working class. By the way, I think Democrats have taken for granted the Hispanic vote, have looked at the Hispanic vote and have viewed it. Okay, they all everybody's Hispanic votes the same way. Well, that's wrong. You have individuals from multiple different countries who have left different regimes for different reasons, and many of them have left autocrats, and what they want here is the opportunity for capitalism and identify with Trump more than Harris. So he found ways to build his coalition last night. Whereas Harris, that was diminished from where Joe Biden was 4 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think, Chad, it's fair to say that Americans tend to select the candidate who seems the most authentic. And while Donald Trump's character deeply dismays me, I think it is fair to say that he presents himself as what you see is what you get. And people respond to that. I do wish that Kamala Harris had on Joe Rogan's podcast. I wish that she had explained how she differs from Joe Biden, how she would present a new path forward, acknowledge some missteps. People want to hear that. And the other truth is this.
Why do you think she didn't?
I think that too many politicians who are brought up in the political system are trained to stay out of trouble, say nothing, avoid anything that could be used against you. And that's why we have so many disingenuous seeming members of Congress and political office holders all around the country. But those who express independence, who will say how they feel, who might get out of line on occasion, tend to be celebrated. And the other point that's worth noting, I believe, is Donald Trump in New York society was never accepted. He was not welcomed into clubs. He was not welcomed into social networks. He was constantly an outsider. And I do believe there's a thread that connects him to a lot of this country that also feels a degree of being an outsider. Not his financial success is different than the real issue. It's not economic. I think it's cultural, it's social, it's communal, and it's a belief in somebody who is trying to attack a system that so many Americans now, I believe because of a lot of misinformation, believe is the culprit of their own struggles. And I think we have to acknowledge it. And I've been encouraging my Democratic colleagues for years now, Chad, to do more invitation, less condemnation. And most importantly, just listen. You know, Washington is a bubble. If there's one thing I may have done differently than so many of my colleagues, it's spending time all around the country with everyday folks, not just encapsulating myself in Washington or the best educated, most wealthy. And I'm afraid that too many aren't doing that. And when you lose sight of reality, this is what happens.
Dean Phillips is with us. It's 1:14 here on WCCO Radio. When the Democrats lost in 88, when Michael Dukakis lost to George H.W. Bush, you know, they had lost to Reagan. They had lost to Reagan. They lost to George Bush. And what happened was a change. And it was a Democratic Leadership Council. And there were blue dog Democrats, including the most noteworthy, this governor from Arkansas named Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton, partially because of Arkansas, partially because of his own personality and politics, found a way where he worked with Republicans. Now, when he was in office, there were many Republicans who viewed him with contempt. But when he ended up defeating Bob Dole, it was triangulation. He was moving more to the center. Is this going to be the type of election where Democrats are going to reflect and say, we need to move more to the center? We need to, what you just said, travel the country. We need to broaden our approach. We shouldn't be governed as far to the left, and we're going to make that change. I'd love to see it personally. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wish it's going to wish it would happen. What do you want, and what do you expect to happen?
Well, what I want is a party that listens more, invites more, stops imposing on others, and recognizing that politics is an industry. And if you wish to attract more customers, in this case voters, you don't do it via condemnation, Chad. You got to do it by invitation. You have to build a product, in this case a brand, values, principles, policies that people want to buy. And clearly what we are offering, or the way in which we're offering it, is not working. Now, what's going to happen? Of course, the infighting already beginning. What you're going to see immediately is the kind of left wing of the Democratic Party make the case that if Kamala Harris had just objected to Israel, if she had just committed to do an arms embargo on Israel, if she do this or that, commit to single payer health care, for example, that was
stayed maybe where she was in 19,
she would have won.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. And then you will have the Bernie Sanders kind of wing saying that we should move left. And that's the problem. Of course,
no,
I see things a little bit differently. I've been on a text chain all morning with my colleagues of all different political stripes, lamenting the outcome last night, of course. But we're unified in recognizing that this isn't about the perfect. It's about success. And it's about offering something that Americans want. So you're going to see a lot of fighting. My suspicion is not a lot of progress will be made. The fighting will continue. It'll be, I think, somewhat public. And I don't think the reconciliation between the left and more centrist wing of the Democratic Party is ready to bridge that gap yet. But if you ask me point blank what needs to happen, of course, we did not attract independents, moderate Republicans, and we lost millions of what had been considered the foundation of the Democratic Party. So if that isn't a wake-up call, Chad, I don't know what is, but we are a little bit rudderless and leaderless, and I'm hoping a new generation now picks up that slack and does so in a thoughtful way. I think Hakeem Jeffries might be that guy. We're going to find out soon.
This is Dean Phillips. We're going to take a short pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about his role in this race, how he views that decision now, how he views Joe Biden's decision to stay in the race when tens of millions of people wanted him to step away within his own party, but he didn't until late. And what does Dean want to say about his political future? Dean Phillips back with us in just minutes on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
22 minutes past the hour one. We're back with 3rd District Congressman Dean Phillips. We'll get to his replacement before this interview is done. Okay, in July of 2022, you made news. You were the first congressman who said, I respect President Biden, but it's time for him to transition. It is time for new leadership. I want him to have a very successful presidency, but I do not want him to run for re-election. He dismissed that. The Democratic Party's apparatus downplayed you, laughed at you, didn't take you serious, and you ran. And you ran wanting a change. And then more and more people saw and made the assessment that Joe Biden was not intellectually capable of the job. You differ on that. You can expand on that a little bit, but I didn't feel like he was up for another 4 years. I thought that was clear. And only after he was destroyed by Donald Trump in a debate, and when the key members in Congress, led by Nancy Pelosi, basically said, if you don't get out, we're going to push you. There are a lot of people, Dean, who feel today that Joe Biden waited way too long. That if he does this a year before, let alone 2 years before, there is a traditional campaign that candidates like yourself and others jump in, as opposed to when he jumps out, there was just an appointment. There was an anointment of Kamala Harris. So today, are you mad at the way Joe Biden handled this process? And does he deserve the criticism and blame for part of what happened last night?
Well, Chad, you know, grievances have never served me well. In fact, I think that's one of the fundamental problems with Donald Trump, is he allows them to overtake his better judgment. So, no, I'm not resentful. I'm not issuing any grievances towards my colleagues or President Biden or Vice President Harris. But I'm going to tell the truth, which is, of course, he absolutely should have stood down after his first term and promoted, not just allowed, but promoted a competition. That's all I was seeking. And that's why we live in a country that holds competition so dear. It's why we have primaries. It's why Americans are demanding alternatives. And, you know, we don't like selections. We like elections. And to see this kind of happen twice in the same election cycle, where we made the same mistake, of course, I'm disappointed. And I do believe the president, who's a good man, clearly made an error in judgment by continuing to run when the change was made. Giving a new candidate just 90 days to create a campaign would have been a Herculean task. And if we had done this a year and a half ago, there would have been a fight. And when I say this is really important, not just to allow a competition, to promote one, because there's a lot of potential candidates that were not going to enter the ring as long as Vice President Harris was going to be in it. That's why we need leadership that promotes alternatives. Had we had a thoughtful, energized, spirited primary, we would have absolutely, in my estimation, selected a candidate better positioned to beat Donald Trump. So, yes, unequivocally, yes.
Okay, so if I expand on that and say this, considering the fact she was a vice president and that the economy, inflation, and immigration were positions, were issues in this country where poll after poll, unanimously, the polls showed that the public to some level, sometimes overwhelmingly, preferred Donald Trump, and that she could not separate herself from Biden because of the vice presidency, that in hindsight, she was the wrong candidate, that the Democrats selected the wrong candidate. The candidate should not have been Kamala Harris. What do you say to that statement?
Well, I think a lot of Democrats selected the candidate they wanted, but that's not necessarily the candidate who could have won. And if you look at last night, I mean, it was not just a nail biter. It was a blowout. And it looks like Democrats have lost the White House, surely the Senate, and it's also looking like we lost the House as well. So the proof is in the pudding. Furthermore, at least CNN was advising last night that there wasn't a single county in the United States of America in which Vice President Harris outperformed President Biden. So if that isn't enough data to make someone's decision, I don't know what is. And that's the truth. And here's the problem with these primaries. When too few Americans turn out to vote in primaries, we will be getting time and time again candidates who either do not represent broad swaths of the electorate or who are party darlings or those who are connected to the activists. So my call to action to anybody listening that cares about this is your duty is not done by voting in a general election. You know, an American duty is participating in the process of selection of candidates. And everybody who's complaining, which I used to do plenty, I would argue that it's time to get out and organize and mobilize and do something to participate in the process, because that's our real crisis right now. And if there's a lesson to learn from this whole experience, Chad, that's it.
Kelly Morrison will be your replacement in Congress. For folks who don't know about her, and she won handily last night, what excites you most about her stepping into to the office that you are leaving?
Chad, Kelly is just spectacular, and I hope everybody listening gets a chance to see her, meet her. You will find an extraordinarily compassionate, talented, wonderful woman, a physician, a mother, a wife, a dear friend of mine since fifth grade. And many won't know this, but I think Kelly's great-great-grandfather was the first mayor of Minneapolis, Darylis Morrison, a Republican, by the way. Her family, extraordinary. Her experience as a physician, a remarkable state senator. You know, as much as you could possibly ask for in a representative, not just for the 3rd District, you know, but for our state and our country. And I think that Kelly will be an outstanding representative, a future leader in our Congress, and the kind of person who recognizes that respect and decency, collegiality, are hallmarks of representation. That's who she is. I think she's perfectly set to represent this district well, and I'm so thrilled, proud to be represented by her in about 6 weeks.
I think if someone listens to you right now, you sound like a person who does not want to leave this process, that you believe in the country, you believe in altering the process, including more people, and that you just don't want to step away from politics. Last time we chatted, you said post-election, I'm going to flesh out some of the things I want to do. Can you share at least a little bit of that now? And if someone, because the texts are coming in, if someone says in 2026 they want to have the opportunity to vote for Dean Phillips, will they get that chance?
Well, certainly not in 2026, but I think if you're talking about the next presidential election, that's 2028, of course. But
yeah, but I mean, well, we have a governor's race in 2026.
Yeah, we have governor's race. Okay. Well, so let me, I'll answer that. You know, Chad, I'll tell you, this morning is a little emotional for me because in 2016, 8 years ago, almost to the day, if you had told me I'd be talking with you about politics as a member of Congress, I would have said you're out of your mind. And I woke up that morning after the 2016 election, and my youngest daughter in tears in her bedroom, my eldest daughter at college, distraught, it jarred me. And I sat at the breakfast table that morning and promised both of them I would do something. And I had every intention to fulfill my mission to do so until the end of Trumpism, which I consider to be a great danger for the United States of America. By the way, to be separated from the Republican Party and conservatism, both of which I honor. So to wake up this morning thinking that my mission would have been completed and to see that indeed another chapter now awaits, in this case, Kelly Morrison and others, leaves me quite disappointed. I am disappointed that I won't be in that arena, that I can't be a voice of reason and bring some common sense to a system that so desperately needs it. So it absolutely encourages me to give thought to how I can be helpful. And that means in an administration, it means supporting my party to reconcile what just happened and make some reformations to become a more appealing party for Americans to support. And most importantly, my real mission is going to be bridge building. I have great affection for my Republican colleagues and my Democratic colleagues. When I ran for president, I've told you this before, my great epiphany was we are a country that is not nearly as divided as the angertainment industry would have us believe. And too few Americans are feeling that, sensing it, and taking the steps to congregate with our neighbors and people of different perspectives. So I'm going to play some role somehow in supporting organizations like Braver Angels, other groups that are trying, with some great success, by the way, to simply get people to sit down, break bread, and do what right now, unfortunately, our leaders in Washington are not doing, which is inspiring real patriotism, which means looking out for one another. So somehow, some way, I will be in pursuit of that mission. I will not be running for governor in the state of Minnesota, but that does not mean I would ever say never to future public office, and surely means that I will not be stepping aside. In fact, if anything, I intend to be very loud and standing up as tall as ever because our country needs it.
Why will you not be running for governor in 26?
You know, the truth is right now, Chad, I don't believe that our party, the Democratic Party, is ready to consider candidates like me. That's one reason, just as they weren't willing to consider candidates like me for a national election of such consequence. And that's somewhat of the soul searching that I hope all of my colleagues and supporters of Democrats around the country will do. That is part of the problem. And the other is, I think it's time for some others to step up. I'd like to recruit people of competence and experience and collegiality to serve in public office. And I would rather see others take that helm right now. Kelly Morris is taking my seat in Congress, of course. But I will remain active and, most importantly, do my best to inspire and recruit candidates who will do a great job for Minnesota and also for our country. And Minnesota still, I have to remind everybody listening, we still are unique in this country. Higher voter turnout, more engagement, more decency. The number of Republican officials, Tim Pawlenty, one of them, Paul Gazelka, former State Senator Paul Anderson, and so many others I've developed friendships with because we all are part of that exhausted majority, center-right, center-left Americans, who really recognize that we have a quagmire that's fixable if people like us shake hands and give them hugs and high fives to one another. So that's what I'm going to be working on. I'd rather do so for the next couple of years on the sidelines and be of service to others.
You have been incredibly available to this show. Listen, I wanted you to win the presidency for multiple reasons. I wanted to have the Friday afternoon show with the president. You know, so selfishly, I wanted you to win that. You have answered direct questions. You are a voice to me that speaks of the better angels and the better directions where this country should be headed. I thought you showed courage when you stepped in and did the right thing when so many people in your party did not want you to do that. I think our political apparatus is better if we have Dean Phillips and more individuals close to you. I know we will continue to reach out. As you said, you're not going anywhere, and you still will be a voice that is heard on this show. So, again, thank you so much for coming on, as always, Dean. It is,
Chad, greatly appreciated. Thank you, and to all who have their voices on our airwaves and their faces on our TVs that are trying to uncover truth and having people like me on and challenging us and testing us. I thank you, too, because it's integral. And keep the faith and keep in touch. And for all those who are suffering today, just lean into it, but convert that grief into inspiration, because resignation is the worst disease of all. So thank you, Chad.
We'll talk soon. Dean Phillips right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, just a last comment on Dean Phillips. It's very clear if you listen to me that I align with Dean Phillips about as much as anybody I know politically. And as I told him, our country, in my view, would be incredibly better if we had more people who are in the 30-40% in the middle of the country. And we don't have enough of that. And by the way, Donald Trump is not that. But guess what? He crushed his opponent yesterday. And he has found a way to do that. And he will be the president for the next 4 years. So that brings Tim Walz back to this state. Third elections, Dave, most of the time are very tough. They're very tough whether you win And quite often in that third term, it doesn't turn out as well. We were talking about this last night with the coverage when I was joined by so many people, including Blois and Adam. And when Tim Walz ran in 2018, what was the phrase? One Minnesota. He was a centrist. He was in one of the more centrist districts in the state. We, by the way, had Congressman Brad Finstead on last night. Again, I thought his message was great because he talked about reaching out to the other side and working together. I hope he lives up to that. I hope we see that. I know Donald Trump said it. I don't believe him. There's no proof he's going to do that. But let's see. Prove me wrong, Donald. You prove me wrong on a regular basis. So do it again this time by reaching out to the other side. But Tim Walz in 18, I felt like even Republicans, Dave, said, well, decent guy, but you know what? I don't want him as my president, as my governor, excuse me. Then he ran, then he was in office 18 to 22, and he was slowly moving further out to the left. And it was a more combative Tim Walz ran in 2020 against Scott Jensen, and it was the start of the cloistered, sheltered Tim Walz. What'd they have? Two debates? Shows where he's asked direct questions. He started disappearing. And guess what? He won. He crushed Scott Jensen. And the trifecta was born. And as I've said many times, $18 billion and the approach they took, I don't agree at all. I mean, at all with the totality of it. Are there pieces within the legislation? Yes. And a lot of this was federal money because of COVID. But when you have an $18 billion surplus, this isn't difficult, ladies and gentlemen. You are an overtaxed state. Simple as that. So if you don't want to play the Jesse checks or the Walz checks, which he tried, then let's, I don't know, crazy thing. Let's lower taxes. And by the way, let's make the majority of it for middle class and under. But by the way, there are people who've had success and contributed to it. You can even lower their taxes too. You don't have to make the successful the boogeyman every bleeping time. But they did it. And I think there's a lot of people now. And let's not forget COVID. And some of it is irrational in their disdain for Walz regarding COVID. There's a lot of anger from people towards Tim Walz right now, in my opinion, Dave. And sure, the far right wants no part of him. I think there's a lot of people, center right, who just still are shaking their head about all the money. And by the way, where's the oversight on issue after issue after issue? And by the way, I think there's plenty of center left folks who are thinking, really? This is the guy we sent it for? Yeah, the left, which dominates the party for Democrats in the state, they loved it. To me, it was way too far. And I don't know. What's your guess? You go first. If it turns out we stay with a tie, and former Speaker of the House, Kurt Dowd, is going to join us at about 2:05 here on the station. If it stays a one-vote majority in the Senate, a tie in the House, trifecta dead, gone, how do you think that's going to, how do you think Tim Walz will approach that? And how do you think that's going to play out?
It's a million-dollar question in the state right now. I think Tim Walz is probably smart enough, and perhaps those around him, to see the writing on the wall, to see that Minnesotans aren't thrilled. Obviously, we still went blue last night for Amy Klobuchar, you know, Angie Craig, blah, blah, blah. But I think there's even some Democrats out there that would say, you know what? Thank you, Tim. but it needs to go a little bit further back to the center. I think, you know, the state is kind of saying, even like I said, even the Democrats, a lot of them are saying, you know, we've gone left. I think we've gone too far left now, and it's time to bring back to the center if we do want to keep this as a purple-leaning blue state.
I hope he does it. I'm skeptical. If I had to predict today, I don't think he's running. I don't.
I agree.
I think I think he will have all the folks within his inner circle saying, run, run, run. I mean, come on. You just were the vice presidential nominee. I think he would get some specific direct challenges. The question is, can the Republicans offer up a viable candidate who can get those centrists?
Yeah.
As opposed to the centrist saying, you know, Walz isn't really my guy, but no, I'm not voting for said person. Let's pause right here. If you want to call, we have time. We come back. What are your thoughts on Tim Walz during the election? What are your Tim Walz thoughts on him coming back? And by the way, election season for 2026 has already started because Steve Phillips said on the show he's not running for governor. Do you want Tim Walz to run for governor a third time? 651-461-9226. All right, we are reacting and getting lots of feedback here on Tim Walz. Let's jump right in. Tim Walz is fiscally irresponsible. These are your texts. No on Walz. How is Walz going to explain the Cato rating? A chameleon like Walz will change his colors to blend in with his surroundings. I think Tim Walz has done enough damage in two terms. I think it's time to move on. By the way, we get a lot of texts who support Democrats. Okay, I'm going to read them all here. But we're getting a lot of people who are very angry towards Governor Walz. I voted for Walz twice. I do not want him to run again. Need some new blood, preferably more moderate. My vote is going to Corey Hepler. What about Corey, Dave, jumping back into the race?
I will send him a message right now. I'm sure he has not closed the door on it.
Yep. Walz and crew have proven to be highly irresponsible with taxpayer dollars. He needs to go ASAP. Reading your texts, all these are your texts. If it's time for Governor Walz to ride off in the sunset, him and Peggy Flanagan, they have overstepped and reached beyond their authority. Trump was doing nothing by COVID. Walz came out with a plan and made me feel safer with Trump's babbling in action. Chad, where was this happy-go-lucky VP candidate when he's been governor for two terms? Was it all show for the main stage? Well, let's talk about that, Dave. I mean, the personality, the over-the-top. We rarely saw that here with him as governor or congressman. That was a very dramatic change. Even if you're a supporter of the guy, don't you have to acknowledge that was pretty significant?
You do. I mean, he was never a guy that lacked energy. Certainly when you saw him in person, when he'd be out at the fair, there was plenty of energy there. But this was, I mean, from a 8 to about a 13 on the scale, he bumped it way up.
Let's see. Election. Yeah, would love to see Tim Walz come and run and win against Tom Emmer in the 6th District. Well, you might get Tom Emmer. I think a lot of people right now believe that the two favorites, if they ran, whether it was against Tim Walz or ran for the open governor's position, would be Tom Emmer and Pete Stauber. And I've had, let's give great credit here to Shooter. I've had three little birdies over the last 6 months say, guess what? Those two aren't exactly the best pals. So those would be two big name Republicans. Now, Emmer might have a very powerful position with Trump back in power. So maybe the governor's position is not for him. But let's see who the Republicans put up. Linda's construction time is, what do we got? 157. It's time for you to reach out to Andy Lindis and his entire crew. They'll do outstanding work for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com